We present the News Quiz with your chairman, Martin Young.
Hello and welcome again to the News Quiz. I'm standing in again this week for Barry Took. We start with an advertisement from the Sussex Friday ad, read by Charlotte Green.
Escort agency requires mature lady to answer telephone on a part-time basis.
Thank you, Colin and Joanna Gibson of East Sussex, for sending us that. Now, let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first, on my right, the writer Andy Hamilton and Guardian columnist Simon Hoggart. And facing them on my left, from The Times, Alan Coran and Sir David Steele, MP. Before we start round one, here's a notice from Gunmart magazine.
Due to a growing shortage of members, recruits are required for the World War II Japanese Kamikaze Reenactment Group.
Thank you, S.J. Ogborn of Swindon, for spotting that. Right, the first question to you, Andy. What golden anniversary was world-beating?
Could this possibly be the United Nations?
Mm-hmm.
They celebrated their anniversary. They had a big kind of angst session. And our Prime Minister, John Major, went there and gave them a piece of his mind. He told them they've got to get their house in order. They've got to cut their cloth financially. Apparently, he was particularly irritated by the United Nations putting in an application for lottery money. So the world leaders all got up, and Castro kept his speech to 4 minutes, as opposed to the usual 2 hours, which is quite impressive. And he wore a suit, which is rather, obviously, the only suit in Cuba.
These are indeed the celebrations to mark the 50th anniversary of the United Nations, which were held in New York in the presence of 185 world leaders and John Major. The British Prime Minister was delayed due to a travel plan mix-up. He flew into JFK, but his charisma was diverted to Iceland. Simon, what lessons are being laboured?
Oh, it's the Parliamentary Labour Party, the Shadow Cabinet, isn't it? The French call Le Cabinet Fantôme. And they're off to Oxford to learn how to be any good, because they were completely mauled by Michael Howard, of all people. Michael Howard defeated, vanquished them in debate. It was pathetic, isn't it? It's like losing an arm wrestling match with a chicken. So to get it right, to be taught how to govern, they're off to some place in Oxford to where they're going to be educated in governance.
Right? Absolutely right. This is all about Tony Blair, who's sending his cabinet fantôme, as you say, on a course designed to bring them up to standard in an intensive 10-hour-a-day, 7-year programme. David, who will win his party game when out? There could be a clue.
Give me a clue, give me a clue.
There could be a clue coming away. Golden balls? That's perfectly fair historical reference to Private Eye, 20 years ago.
Oh, that one. Oh. Alan is suggesting it might be to do with Sir James Goldsmith and the referendum party. Is that the answer?
It is.
Do I get a point?
You do.
Well, I thought
you might have. You get 2 points. If you say it strongly.
It's Sir James Goldsmith's referendum party.
Correct. 2 points.
Thank you.
This is the referendum party founded by Sir James Goldsmith and dedicated to get Britain out of Europe, according to the press statement issued from his gîte just outside Antibes. Their candidates, including Sir Alan Walters, will stand at many Tory seats, but Conservative MPs aren't expecting a split vote. Well, most of them aren't expecting much of a vote of anything. Alan, your turn. Have a listen to this. Who got an invitation despite that old bit of argy-bargy, Alan?
I think this is the Dago invasion of Downing Street, isn't it? I'd be very pleased to see them. It's that tiny man, Menem, who was standing next to John Major, making John look very good. I thought it's probably why he got him. Anyway, he met John Major at the United Nations, and Major's invited him back to Downing Street for a jam tea and potted sandwiches and various things that Norma's going to knock up with anything she's got in the house. And they're going to unite, and they will give a piece of pabulum about how we will always respect the Malvinas, but they'll always be the Falkland Islands. I'm trying to get the audience on my side. They look British to me.
A lot of Argentinians in the audience, I'm afraid. Alan, you're quite right. This is the news that John Major has invited President Menem of Argentina to London for talks. The Argentinians are keen to negotiate mining rights, but they'll have to wait a while. The Falklanders haven't finished digging up the lot they buried there last time. And there are a lot of Argentinians in the audience. And the scores at the end of round one are Andy and Simon 4, Alan and David 4. We start round two with a story seen in the Hampstead and Highgate Express.
A team of frogmen trawled the Regent's Canal, Camden Town, after anglers reported sighting some male genitalia floating in the water. After a search, the divers located the floating object, which turned out to be a chicken leg.
Oh, I don't know what's so funny about that.
A whole leg.
Lucky it wasn't one of Marks and Spencer's chicken Kiev.
Giblets, I could have understood.
Do you have a problem, Alan?
Just thinking what dim anglers they've got them on. Well, they don't see much. They don't get out much. They're angling all the time. A chicken leg floats past, you think, ooh, genitalia.
I think moving on, as they say. Andy, it's your turn now. What churchman counselled caution over the big win?
Right, well, this is this new phenomenon, lottery rage, that, I don't know about you, but I'm getting very bored with the lottery. Presumably, it's the words National Lottery are now banned in John Major's house as well, because what sounded like a wizard wheeze, you know, to raise money, you know, have a sort of secret tax that you could then sort of siphon off to the Treasury when no one was looking, is now looking just problems and problems, and everyone, and the problem is, of course, everyone thinks they're entitled to some of the money. I mean, I've put in 14 applications now. Camelot keep managing to pick numbers that mean that the winners are only Emperor Bacassa and Jack the Ripper. I think the best thing really is just to call it a day and go back to whatever we did before the lottery came along, where we seem to muddle through. But anyway, so now church leaders are on the bandwagon. They're obsessed with it now, because apparently, you know, collection plates are coming round with IOUs and discarded scratch cards, and so now the church are getting all aerated about it. I think we should just abolish it. There you go.
We like watching the balls drop, don't we? off the chicken leg.
But the man who does the commentary has, I mean, what intelligence do they think we have? He actually tells you how many times the number 3 has come up. As if this is a startling piece of information. Oh, the number 3's come up. Now it's only come up 4 times in 12 weeks. You think that's not a proper job? License payers' money is paying that man to do that.
Well, anyway. I think we've rubbished the lottery enough, have we? Or does anybody else want to rubbish it?
They're going to get Virginia Bottomley to do the presentation herself in future. That's the latest wheeze.
Oh, well, that'll kill it. That's good. That's good. I'm cheering up now.
This does indeed refer to the Council of Churches, which condemned big wins on the National Lottery, despite having already received more than £1 million of lottery money itself. The council ended its lottery debate with a prayer and bonus hymn number 46. Simon, your turn now. What underlined a thin blue line?
Oh, it's the police, isn't it? The,
Where else could it be?
They're no good at their jobs, that's the point. £5 billion. Go along. Hello, hello, hello. What's this then? Ooh, looks like genitalia to me.
Don't be silly, sir.
Another Tesco's chicken leg. It's in my paper, The Guardian. We revealed that the police are a complete waste of time. That you walk out there, crimes committed all around them, people being murdered, and they don't know anything about it. Just mind how you go.
This is the appalling, subversive Guardian that you write for that is trying to undermine law and order in this country, is that right?
That's our aim, yes.
Where do you park your car, Simon?
This is the National Audit Office report, which claims that only 5% of police strength is on the beat at any one time, or 10% if you include the opening titles of the bill. A senior detective said the report was a tissue of lies and a blatant distortion of the truth. In other words, they couldn't have done a better job themselves. David, here's a piece of music for you.
Little children, you better tell what you see. And if you're good, I'll give you candy and a quarter.
Where did, David, little green people appear to save the planet?
This is not the story about the frogs that have arrived here, no?
We'd like to hear this story, but no, it isn't.
Well, these big frogs have arrived fresh from doing nuclear tests in the Pacific and are eating up British frogs. It's not to do with them,
keep
talking. Little green people...
either think green as in environment, or look what Alan's written down on his page beside you.
This is called cheating.
Yes.
No, oh, well, if you're going to do that...
No.
It's going to involve me in a coercive...
No, he just wrote down the one word, gummer. Now, he is a little green person, that's true. He appeared at this conference of children, and he was told to sit down like an adult.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you for that note, Alan.
He then proceeded to feed them beef burgers, presumably, to all the children. I don't know. Very
good. A bad
good.
Week for Gummer. Did you see that the European Minister for the Environment, this Dutchwoman, Heretigrek, or whatever, said Gummer had upset everyone by telling a dirty joke? This strikes me as being a sort of chicken genitalia thing. How could a Dutchwoman possibly identify a dirty joke, especially one coming from Gummer? We cannot imagine Gummer knowing a dirty joke. It must have been something like, why did the genitalia cross the road or something? What about Gummer suggests he's in any position to make the Dutch laugh with a dirty joke?
No, she's Danish.
Pass me the revolver, I'll blow my brains out now. Does that make a big difference, sir?
Well, no, but it does really, because Gummer's got a lot of dirty jokes. He specialises in them, but this one wasn't funny. It was all about Lord Palmerston.
What?
Yes, Lord Palmerston goes into this pub, you know.
It was the same dirty joke he told to the Synod last year. This was the Green Conference of 900 schoolchildren aged from 10 to 13 held in Eastbourne, which came as great news for the town. It reduced the average age of the population by nearly 2 weeks. Alan, your turn now. Who is a pin-up by royal appointment?
Well, this is a heartbreaking story. I mean, I think the child has suffered enough. This is the next king. The next king but one.
That's a controversial statement.
Well, he might be the next king but one. It depends on the next queen but one, doesn't it? It could be extremely complicated. And as I'm 14 millionth in line to the throne, we could be talking about me. But anyway, at the time of going to microphone, this was the King William to be. And he's a poster in Smash Hits this week, which shows the way things are going. There were a number of stories about him this week. He went to some ball, and a lot of children who, when they weren't shouting at Gummer, wanted to kiss him, crying.
Not Gummer.
Just Gummer. I don't think Gummer wanted to kiss him either. But he... Actually, Prince William is going out with an 83-year-old woman. I mean, he likes the mature type. Mrs. Parker Bowles' aunt.
You're right, Alan. It's Prince William, the popular royal pin-up, as opposed to his parents' wedding, the popular royal balls-up. He is to appear in Smash Hits. The heir to the throne is following in the royal footsteps of Margaret, who appeared in Smash Dance. Meanwhile, Prince William attended his first disco, where he danced alone and avoided all contact with the opposite sex. On hearing the news, Prince Edward said, "That's my boy." And the scores rapidly at the end of round two are Andy and Simon 8, Alan and David, 8. Andy, back to you. Which bachelor boy deserves congratulations?
Oh, well, I'm on a hide into nothing now. They've all gone, this is Sir Cliff Richard, as he now is, who went to the palace and was knighted. And I was interested to see that he was photographed with his sisters, who all look about 16. So obviously, a lot of monkey glands change hands very early on in that family. That's about it, really. I mean, he went there, he smiled for the cameras, he got his gong, and he came away again. And I think he sang, I'm not sure, but I don't think anyone was hurt. It was all right.
Right, this does indeed refer to Cliff Richard, who went to the palace to receive his knighthood. As Cliff always says, once a night was quite enough for me 35 years ago. Simon. Here's a piece of music for you.
Who wants to be a millionaire?
I don't.
Have flashy flunkies everywhere?
I don't.
Who wants the father of a country estate?
A country estate is something I'd hate.
Simon, who said nein danke to 9 million?
Her name, is it Blick?
Flick.
Nearly.
Flick.
And she said that £9 million a year wasn't enough to maintain her lifestyle. She's in an acrimonious divorce. And the judge demanded to know what she meant by her lifestyle. And she said that if she didn't have 9 million a year, she'd actually have to take scheduled planes.
Good God.
I know. I was horrified too.
Yes. She also said that in her list of expenditure, she had £5,000 put aside for casual drinks for visitors. And I'd love to be a visitor. You're right. This is all about the Flicks, a hugely rich family of Germans who wanted to live like royalty. So they moved to London and got a divorce. David, your turn. Who found themselves bugged on the sandwich course?
Bugged on the sandwich course.
Talk amongst yourselves.
Want power to read anything?
It's just that I know the answer, but I didn't connect the question to it.
That is the. Yeah, it's a long time in politics.
Yes, well, I thought we weren't allowed to talk about this because they might sue, but it was a well-known firm of food purveyors who got bugged in the sandwiches this week. Yes, I get it now. Yes, when you work it out. There was salmonella, and they destroyed 600,000 sandwiches or something like that, most of which were found later floating in the Regent Canal and were mistaken for other objects.
Quite right.
Marks and Spencer's, if you don't like it, you can bring it back up.
This does indeed refer to Marks and Spencer, who discovered salmonella in one of their sandwich factories. M&S has assured the public that there was no danger to health. No one can ever get those plastic boxes open anyway. Now, Alan, whose cold calling will be frozen out?
I suppose it's silly to ask, isn't it? This is revenge. My team has written down Archdeacon of York. Is he any way close?
Interesting, but completely wrong.
Cold calling is a system whereby the graduates left unemployed by the forward-thinking education policies of this government have nothing to do except earn £2 a week, picking up the telephone and saying, we are double glazers, we should be in your area tomorrow. So I assume it's about double glazing.
Correct.
And I assume that what they will probably be doing is stopping it happening. Because the last thing anybody wants is graduates earning a living. They want them back in their cardboard boxes, hoping for lottery money. So I suppose from this, inducing the various bits and bobs from this, double glazing firms are being discouraged from ringing people up and saying, we're going to come round and turn your house into a fire trap from which you can't escape. Would you like that? We're giving a discount this week.
I think we might give you a discount and just give you one for that. Oh. You haven't mentioned Brussels.
Well, you wouldn't need to. It must be an EU ruling. But everything is an EU ruling these days. There was an extraordinary EU ruling. about the prune. Did you see that?
Not sure.
It's about the extent of a shrivel on a prune. You could see those floating in the pond. Anyway, yes, apparently British prunes don't conform to ruling 1789364 or whatever because they are more shriveled than the prunes you find in Brussels. No, I wouldn't mention it was an EU ruling to stop cold calling for double glazing because everything is. Is that my second point?
Well, the shriveled prune was quite good. We'll give you the shriveled prune along with the chicken leg. That's fair enough. Two shriveled prunes.
Sounds like a Conservative Party dinner.
And the scores at the end of round three are a healthy 12 for both sides. So you've got the two. Now, before we start the final round, here's a cutting from the Sunday Times.
Baron Monkswell has fallen on hard times since completing a short prison sentence last year for hitting his girlfriend's psychiatrist with an adjustable spanner at a stress counselling clinic.
Thank you, everyone who sent that in. Andy, some music for you. Have a listen to this. And that was Wuthering Heights by Kate Bush. Andy, who are being classically trained with patience?
I have to confess it, that my teammate has helped me out on this one because he's obviously been reading Australian Nurse Monthly. In Australia, they are apparently making nurses read Wuthering Heights to tell them about grief.
That's what it says there.
Yeah, that's right. That's what it says. I don't know.
Do you want to tell us a bit more about this?
Well, yes, all right.
I think you're... Yeah. I'm sorry, I got a very bad throat today. Do you know any more about it, Simon?
Well, yes, the point is that they're nurses. People say, it's terrible news, my husband just died. And they say, oh, I have another Foster's. But once they've read Wuthering Heights, they're deeply sensitized to it. And
well, they just run around on moors and things.
So you have a large scotch instead, something more sensitive and caring like that.
Find yourself a dark lover. Really. Very strange.
That's a very good idea. It'll be a classic serial soon, won't it, with like Pride and Prejudice. Have you noticed how her bosom follows you around the room? Great, last episode coming up. Yesterday for the review.
What sort of television have you got then?
Because Andy would like
Stereo Pictures.
It just looks that way.
David, what drinkers ignored a last order call from the law?
We know this. So does Alan.
Can't you write faster, Alan? It's a pub.
It is a pub.
Yeah, the ship in the hall.
Yes.
Yes.
Can't tell him about it.
I'm on my own now, am I?
You're on your own.
Yes.
I'd just love to see this. I've waited so many years.
There's this pub called the Ship in a Hole, right?
Yes. Right.
And it's got a big sign outside it.
Says the Ship in the Hole on it?
Saying, today's special police siege. Nobody leave the pub. Right? Strike a familiar note?
No.
Well, I'll take it from there. The police were called to a pub called the Ship in the Hole.
With the sign outside.
Where they believed there were armed robbers.
Yeah.
It's anything like my pub. It's run by armed robbers. But and the police said, they did the thing they do with a megaphone, saying, you are surrounded, we know you're in there, come out, give yourself up, you've got you banged to rights.
Which paper did you read this in?
This is in all the papers, I'm sorry to say. And the clientele of the pub said, bugger off to the police. We are not coming out. This is very good here. You wouldn't believe what the massacre is like. And they just put on a new firkin of something. And so they refused to come out, and the police had to go away again.
Right. There was this pub called the Ship in the Hole.
Yes.
The police surrounded it and said, please, would you come out? And they said, we'd rather not.
Very good. Absolutely perfect answer from David there. Well done.
If he'd been Prime Minister, it would have been amazing, wouldn't it? I mean, to ask the Prime Minister, Sir David Steele, what his policies are, and you say, well, I'll ask the Honourable Member to hang about for 20 minutes while I go and ask Alan Corran.
but the The great thing about that story was that not just that they didn't come out, but they got more and more drunk. They were in there about 9 hours, weren't they? And the police statement said, we did attempt the usual techniques of talking them out, but the responses got more and more incoherent. And there was one account in the Telegraph which said that some people came out the front door with their hands up and then ran back in to the sound of giggling.
Alan, what wormed its way into our ancestry?
I think what you're referring to here, Martin, is the fact that a worm has been discovered, or the remains of a worm, not a pretty sight, have been discovered. And it's the oldest worm in the world. They found it in a wormhole somewhere. I mean, it's what archaeologists do, it's what they're paid for, and they found this worm. The important thing about it is it set back our theories of man's development by several billion years. So, in fact, we're all millions of years old, especially this probe. The time when the repeat goes out, we're a million years and 2 days old. Every week something is discovered which disproves all the other theories about the whole world. And I believe this is the missing worm. We are, in fact, descended from this worm.
You speak for yourself.
The legs just came along as an afterthought later, so we could wear trousers. But basically, this worm is us. Worms are us.
Worms are us. This is the news that we are all descended from a Chinese worm, which means that under Michael Howard's new rules, none of us is allowed to work in this country anymore. Before we reveal the final scores, let's see what cuttings the team have brought along. Let's go to you first. Andy, what do you have for us?
Well, I'm indebted to Ted Shepherd of Thelwald for this. It's a rather poignant story. Allowed out of a jail in El Paso, Texas, to celebrate his 25th wedding anniversary, a thief returned home to find his wife absent. She had just been sent to prison, he then learnt, after being caught stealing his anniversary present. Sad and sweet.
Simon, what do you have for us?
This is from the Sunday Times. According to the last month's Independent Television Commission programme complaints report, one viewer who complained about a man wearing an artificial penis on his nose in The Big Breakfast was informed that this was not the case and the man was in fact doing an impression of Barry Manilow.
Thank you very much. Move over to David. What have you got for us?
Alan, did you bring a cutting for me? I thought you might have forgotten, so I brought one myself. This is from, believe it or not, today's Daily Mail. I always thought, listening to this programme, you made these things up, but this is actually in this morning's Daily Mail. An undercover policeman explained yesterday how he ended up dancing naked on stage with two strippers. Dominic Glynn, who was on a special operation to investigate after-hours drinking, took part in the show wearing only his socks. He told magistrates, I thought it would blow my cover if I refused.
Alan, do you have a cutting for us?
Well, I've got a little antipodean vignette, Martin, culled from the Sydney Morning Herald. It says, Eleanor Perry, a 25-year-old sales clerk from Wirragonga, has broken off her engagement to Clive Borrell, who at 7 feet 4 inches had told her he was the tallest man in New South Wales. Discovering last week that he was in fact only the third tallest, Eleanor said, it may look like a small thing, but it's a big disappointment. I have no idea what she meant or what the cutting's about.
Thank you all very much for those. Now let's take a look at the final score. Andy and Simon have a respectable 14, but Alan and David have a quite spectacular 17. And that's all we've got, and so until next week, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Alan Corrin, Andy Hamilton, Sir David Steele and Simon Hoggart. The chairman was Martin Young and the news is read by me, Charlotte Green. The programme was written by Ian Pattinson and Robert Fraser Steele. The producer was Aled Evans.